Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Shut the Funk Up podcast. I am the well-fed boy. And ladies and gentlemen, breaking news here. As I'm about to start recording the episode, the Diddy trial verdict is officially in. And let me just tell you right now, there was about five counts, all different stuff, racketeering, sex, sex trafficking, blah, 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 all different types of stuff. He got acquitted of three of the five. But, I mean, people cannot believe it.
What the hell? Oh, my God. No way.
I mean, the kid got off. I mean, he didn't get off. He'll probably definitely still get, like, about 5 years. They say, like, 5 to 10. But, excuse me. The way that this whole thing's been going, he's probably just gonna do about five. I mean, but it is just absolutely insane, and it just deserves another.
What the hell? Oh my God! No way!
I told you we were gonna bring some of the little fun stuff back in here. That's right. We got little sound bites, little audio clips that we're gonna just be hitching you with. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, episode 174 in your grill. We have been following, the nation has. The nation's been following this Diddy trial closer than the goddamn Israel-Palestine crisis. You know what I mean? We could give two craps about Ukraine and Russia, but man, we want to know how much baby oil was up in that mansion. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was a lot. There were pallets. We saw a bit. That was the craziest part about this whole thing, too, because the feds and Homeland Security were like involved on this, and they were trying to throw, they were like getting in there. They made such a big deal about all this stuff, and then sounds like they couldn't get nothing to stick. So, there you go. Diddy's going to be back. He's off. He's freaking off again. So congratulations to him. You know, let's give him like a little bit of a hit the attorneys. Attorneys did a great job, man. Attorneys did a real good job for him. That's how it's done, people. You know, if you got enough money, as they say, bro, you straight. So there you go. That's the end of the Diddy debacle. I'm sure it's pretty much not the end. I'm sure there's still going to be more and more to come. People are going to be outraged. But what is next to come? The memoir. You know, the Jane Does that were up on trial and stuff, they're going to spill the beans now because they didn't get the justice that they deserve.
God damn!
That's my favorite one. That was the only reason why I wanted to bring these audio clips to you guys, because I love that damn Baylen out loud, the girl with Tourette syndrome. She's so freaking funny, but my favorite one. And now it's a part of like my vernacular, like, you know, just in a daily thing. Instead of like when I'm just like shocked about something, I just go,
God damn!
I crack myself up. All right, but let's get into the episode 174. We got a lot of stuff for you. Introducing some new things too as well. The first thing, another big announcement, we're on TikTok, dude. I finally let the Chinese government into my humble abode. You know, I downloaded the app. I'm all up in there, added all the contacts, you know, making friends. And we did our first post. So yeah, if you're on the TikToks, go check us out. Go follow us over at Shut the Funk Up Podcast over on TikTok. So we're in there. What's up, President, President Xi? I don't know. It's an XI. Xi, Xia. See, he's going to get me for that one too. My bad. But yeah, we let him into the house. Like, you know, just like a vampire, you have to invite him in. And we let him in. So it's on and popping. We don't care anymore. Have all the information. We sacrifice our well-being for likes and views. That's the world we live in. Boom. That's where we're at, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's where we're at.
Hell yes.
It's the first episode. I got all these audio clips, so I'm going to be very liberal with them because it's a lot of fun. Lots of fun. Hope you guys like it too. Comment below. Yo, let me know if you guys are feeling the audio clips. If you want an audio clip, if there's one that you like, yo, you got to add this one to the repertoire, you'll hit me up. I'll add that, you know, because the boy, I told you, we are stepping up. Stepping up. Speaking of stepping out, though, I said stepping up, but stepping out, the song Stepping Out. I wanted to bring to you guys this week's birthdays and deaths in music. So just something that I want to keep you guys up to date. Just so, you know, just again, just little nuggets you guys can walk around in this world and be like, guess whose birthday is this week or today, you know? But speaking of stepping out, we lost a big one. One of the twins from The Whispers. I've done The Whispers before on this podcast as a peacock. Walter Scott, there's two main guys in there. They're twins, the singers, and Walter Scott died. Yep. He died this week. And then we also had, Mick Ralphs also passed away this week. He was the guitarist for the band Bad Company. And then, previously before that, Mott the Hoople. So RIP to those guys, but we had some birthdays too. We got Debbie Harry. She turned 80. Debbie Harry from the band Blondie turned 80, which is crazy because she's like timeless to me to think about it. But we also have RZA from Wu-Tang Clan. I think we were talking about Wu-Tang Clan last episode. RZA is 56. Damn, you know, I mean, that's 56. I mean, the guys are approaching 60 again. A ton of the timeless mug that you just don't think of him as old, you know, but he is. And then last but not least, we got Huey Lewis from Huey Lewis in the News turning 75. So happy birthday shout outs to all three of those cats. Hope you're having a lovely birthday on this 4th of July week, man. We got 4th of July coming up. I saw yesterday we had a Phantom fireworks store, of course, down here in Florida. Absolutely blow up. A car crashed into it. Ba-boom. And then I woke up this morning. I saw out in California said, hey, we'll get in this game. Let's get our toes wet in this beach. And so yep, California, it was like a warehouse, a fireworks warehouse, just absolutely looked like a bomb went off in there. So those are always fun. Those are always great. We love that stuff. So, but yeah, happy 4th of July to everybody. Hope you're, it's a big meat day. It's a top five meat day here in the U.S. I'll be smoking meats. I'll be smoking a brisket on the 4th of July. So come through, anybody. You know, pull up to the Wax Museum. There'll be a plate for you. There's always a plate for my peoples. So come through. Let's get into the episode, because like I said, we got a lot of stuff I want to go over, and I want to fit it all nicely tight into our little hour time frame. Again, we're trying to stick to that hour time frame. But I got an interesting one about Beethoven. I learned this week that Beethoven, as some of you may know, and if you don't, here you go. Beethoven was, you know, he went deaf when he was composing some of his greatest symphonies, and he went deaf by the age of like 25 or 26, something like crazy young, and. But he still kept composing and whatnot. And I learned the way that he did it, this guy's a freaking genius. He had a metal rod connected to, so like the piano's here, and he had a metal rod that was connected to the body, you know, the body of the piano, and the rod would be connected to the piano and then would go into his mouth, kind of like, you know, we talked last week with the vocoder, with the tube. You put it right in between, like right here. If you watch on YouTube, you see the visuals right there, right in between, like, you know, your jawline, right in between your teeth, your upper and lower jaw. And the rod would go in there, and he would feel the vibrations. So when he played, he started doing this before he started seeing that his hearing was going. He was like, uh-oh, we got to nip this one in the butt. Is it nip it in the butt or nip it in the bud? I always, dude, that one, nip it in the bud or nip it in the butt, and also play it by ear or play it by ear. Never understand which one. I think I go back and forth between all of them. Can never figure out which one's which, man. But maybe it's, I think maybe it's nip it in the bud, because that's, it's a rosebud, and you clip them. I don't know, man. You know, we don't, you know, sometimes we just fly off the rails here, and you know, it's just,
they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Do you understand that?
I mean, I don't, dude. Sometimes I don't. But yeah, and he started knowing that his hearing was going away. So he was like, I got to figure out some stuff here before I'm just donezo, you know, early on. And he started figuring out the keys and the chords and stuff that he was playing and the different vibrations, because the vibrations would rattle through your skull. It's kind of the same thing as like with headphones too. If you get to like the science of headphones and stuff, the way your hearing works and things like that, they go into your ear and they vibrate throughout your skull, your cavity, your bone cavity. And so he realized the different vibrations of all of these different notes and chords and whatnot. And that was how he was able to continue to record and write music when he was then fully deaf, because he wrote, so I forget whether it was like Symphony number 8 or whatever, like one of his like, or Sonnet number 8, one of his like biggest works, when he was completely deaf. So yeah, man, Beethoven, I mean, what an absolute beast. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how it's done, man. That's just how it's done. Some people are, they float on a different, just a different frequency than us. But that's what I learned this week. I love it. You know, when I was getting this ear candy this week, I was getting a little worried. Hold on. Let me hold on one second. Let's pause one second, because I need my water, and I forgot my water. It's right there. Let me go grab it. I'll be right back. Little ASMR for you. Cool cats out there that like the sound of like weird, crazy things into the microphone. There's my little ASMR for you. All right, we're back. But yeah, I got this ear candy. I freaking fell in love with it. I'm a Shazam wizard. I can't stop Shazamming whenever I hear a song. I just need to have it. So I'm out and I'm actually at Twin Peaks, you know, for the, definitely for the food, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Definitely for the food. Yeah. So I'm out at Twin Peaks, and the song comes on. And honestly, I have to say, I never go to Twin Peaks, but I've gone now twice. Once, the first time was just because I just wanted to go somewhere to, I mean, I'll just be quite honest, just to look at some chicks. And I was hungry, and I do the thing that is so annoying to everybody, that whenever I'm out, people hate it. And honestly, if I was a waitress or bartender or waiter or whatever, I would be a waiter, obviously. I hate when people are like, oh, what do you like here? I'm that guy. What do you get here? That's me. I'm that guy. And I asked the bartender, I was like, oh, what do you like? And I already had my heart set on like the fish tacos. But she said, Kendall said, the flatbreads are fire. And flatbreads are something that I see on menus everywhere. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Why do we got flatbread? No one's who's ordering the flatbreads? You know what I mean? Like the flatbread, the margarita flat, they just sound, it's, I don't, Mitch, make a pizza. You know what I mean? Like, what's the flatbread? Just be a pizza joint, or just like be Twin Peaks and have wings and chicken tenders and nachos. Why are you trying to get in the like the pizza game and you're limping in with the flatbread? But get this, your boy said, you know what? Guess what, Kendall? Because you're a cutie patootie and I want to try, and I want to impress, I want to be impressive in front of you, I'm going to try the flatbread. And you know, not only am I going to try the flatbread, I'm going to try the flatbread that you like. And it's like this flatbread that's just like really hot. It's got like tons of like jalapenos and heat and hot sauce, and the sauce is peppers, and it's something I would never get just because I used to have terrible indigestion. It's been fairly cured now, but just something I'm just kind of like a little bit of a pussy when it comes to that stuff. So I tried it. Yo, flatbread was off the chizzy. It was off the chain. I mean, it was absolutely fire. And
have you said thank you once?
I did. I did say thank you to her. I thanked her profusely, actually. So yeah, we're at Twin Peaks. Whatever. I'm always getting off on the food exit, man. I tell you, the exits for me are always like music, movies, food, and the weather. Those are like the exits on my highway constantly. This song, so they're always playing pretty good music there. Like the whole time I was like jamming out, and they were playing, so I was like, dang, they're playing some of this here. Okay. But this song comes on and it just hit me out, and it's called, it's from Royal Otis. It's called Kool-Aid. Shazammed it. And I've just been playing it over and over. It's like this really cool indie shoegazy, I don't even know, like got a touch of sunset put on it, and it's vibrant and really produced. I don't know. I love it, but, and I was like, man, I don't know if people are going to like dig this either, but I was like, I don't really care because it really is the song of the week. It is the weekly ear candy for me. So I'm going to play it. So check out, this week's ear candy, by Royal Otis, and the song is called Kool-Aid. Oh, so good. That like night, it's like kind of sounds like the band 1975, like a little bit of a throwback to like an 80s thing, but it's like that neo new 80s sound. I freaking love that type of stuff. It sounds like you're in a like a you know, like the summer, like, you know, pool party. Oh yeah, that song is great. Check it out. Royal Otis, Kool-Aid. It's on the Weekly Ear Candy on Spotify. Check it out. I'm just know that I'm in the car, windows are down, I'm driving down A1A, beaches on the left, crazy hotels are on the right, and I'm blasting that song. Oh, so good. So yeah, there's your weekly ear candy. Check it out. Let's get into some of the topics I want to touch on here, because you guys remember Carol Kay? I did her as a peacock very recent. It was probably about two or three episodes. I did The Land of Fun. This is the third part. So maybe about four or five episodes ago, Carol Kay, legendary bassist, studio musician, all in various studios, but did just crazy hits, you know, Richie Valens and, I can't even think of the other ones off the top of my head, but she did a ton. She was just that background studio musician that no one knows about, but now they know because we do it here. We highlight them peacocks here on the Shut the Funk Up podcast. But she is getting honored in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year, which is being recorded maybe this month or next month. And she's being honored, she's being inducted, but she's not, you know, they always do like those offshoot honor, like, you know, honoree, like you get inducted, but you're not inducted as a band or not as an artist, but you get like, oh, I think it's called like musical excellence, you know, like honoree induction award or whatever. So you're in like the other wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so she's getting inducted on Musical Excellence Award this year. And they invited her to come, obviously, to accept the award. And she said, nah. She said, nah, son. I'm all set. No, I don't want none of that. And I really enjoyed what she said, because she basically was like, I was a studio musician and I did my thing in there, but like there was other people in on the sessions. There were tons of other studio musicians in on the sessions that made all of these, you know, the things that you talk about with me that I'm known for, these songs and whatnot. She's like, it wasn't just me. I just played bass or I just played guitar on them. I wasn't, there were other drummers and saxophonists and string players and whatnot. So she was like, I don't feel like right accepting this award just on me. Like it's either everybody or nobody. And I wrestled back and forth with it, because at first I was like, what's the deal? Just to take the award. Like, why gotta be all so high minded? But then I started dissecting it, as I wanted to do. And I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? Not only is she right, as far as like, there's other musicians in on these sessions and on these songs. Like, I was just one little part of it. I'm thinking about it too. And I'm like, is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doing a like feminist, like woman thing? Like, let's throw like the woman a bone because she's a bassist. And there weren't a lot of those back in the day, which again, I'm not taking away from that. I'm not trying to downgrade her achievements or whatever, but there is something to be said to what she's kind of has, you know, said, where there's other people in on those sessions. It's not just me. Don't just give me it. Why am I so special? And I'm with her on that. I think it would have been cooler though. I think if I was her like publicist manager, I think the move might have been though to go there and do it in the speech. Be like, that's where you go, oh yeah, I'll be there. I'll put me front row. I'll accept it happily. Thank you so much. But then when the mic's hot and you're up there accepting it, that's when you lay down, you know, the gauntlet and you tell, you know, the Recording Academy and all them, like, it wasn't just me. I didn't want to accept this. That's when you can really get all the voices involved, even though I'm sure the Grammys would totally edit your part out because they don't want to hear you trashing them, because good Lord, they already have terrible press. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. She's not going. She is not going to accept the award. It doesn't really matter if you don't have to go to accept it. It's yours. You're gonna be in there either way. But I thought it was a cool little stance that she took, kind of putting up for her brethren, her familia, if you will, her other studio musicians that she was in there. Because it is true. Unless you're like the Funk Brothers or you know, some other house band for a record label, there's tons of other people involved on those recordings. So you can't just give just the drummer like an award. It's like, well, there's other people involved. So good for her, you know. So shout out to Carole K for, you know, keeping it real and telling the Recording Academy to
Daddy chill.
You know, we had to do it again, but yeah, she told the Recording Academy to Daddy chill. Which I think I talked about that audio clip last episode. I finally got it. I'm telling you, baby. I went and did the whole thing. I went and watched a bunch of YouTube videos and learned. I'm teaching myself how to edit on the phone and then bring it to the laptop and edit there and detach audio and cut, copy, you know? So I'm smart, basically, is what I'm getting at there. The other thing we got to talk about is this guy is just Will Smith, bro. I mean, I don't know if you all seen this yet. He's out here in these streets, like trying to do like a music comeback career. I don't even know. I will call it a comeback. But Will Smith's out here. He's putting out freestyles. I played him on a couple of episodes in the back, and we made fun of it. I bet he's probably gearing up for a terrible freaking album. It's probably going to be called. What was the last one called? Willennium. This one's called Will You or Will You Not? Please Don't. Who knows? That was a terrible joke. But he's out here freestyling again, and he's doing diss tracks now against Chris Rock, which is you're not even one a good rapper. You haven't been relevant 4 years. And when you were relevant, you were cookie cutter rapper. You were doing stupid fun party songs and not cussing and like on the playground, spent most of my days. Oh, were you on the play? Go back. You're a playground rapper. Honestly, that's what we're gonna start calling you, Will Smith. You're a playground rapper. And so for you to like be throwing disses out to people when you're 50 freaking years old or however old you are, probably somewhere around Riz's age. You're probably around 60, but you know, why are you doing diss tracks and you're doing it to Chris Rock? Bro, no one on this earth is likes you anymore. Everyone from now until the end of time are only going to remember you as like the guy that pulled a temper tantrum because he couldn't take a joke and slapped another man in the face on national TV. Okay? No one's going to remember, you know, iRobot or whatever the hell you were. No one's remember, definitely not going to remember Wild Wild West because that one was trash. And they're definitely not going to remember. Well, some people might remember Men in Black because Men in Black was kind of dope. But other than that, yo, Will Smith, no one's going to remember you. So I want you to hear just this absolute atrocity. He limped in trying to diss Chris Rock. And this is what he limped in with, dude.
I am the illest.
I'm not the type of man to move in malicious ways, and I am too grown to play childish games. But if you're talking crazy out your face up on the stage and disrespect me on the stage, expect me on the stage.
What the hell? Oh my God, no way.
I mean, that was atrocious. That was your diss? You used stage like four, you used the word stage like four times, bro. If you do it on the stage and I hear you on the stage, I'm going to come up on the stage and I'm going to do the stage. Bruh, not a diss. You're not good at it. Please fall back. Good Lord. It's terrible. Honestly, when I saw the headline, that Will Smith's dissing Chris Rock, I was like, okay, let's go. Like, I'm down for like some old man beef, you know? I'm down for like 3-day old beef, but I mean, that was not even good. You had years to think of the track, the verse, and you just did the stage on the stage and with the stage on the stage. First of all, you could have used like Rock. Rock could have been there. You could have been like, if you throwing rocks at me, I'ma come up on the stage and rock you. See, like that was just me off the dolo thinking of that. You did it. You didn't do a good job. And it's because you're not good at this stuff, dude. You're good at acting. That's it. That's the only thing you're good at. I don't even know if you're good at that anymore because no one will let you in anything because you did the stage with the Rock on the stage. And dude, go back to just your whining wife and you sitting around the dinner table, probably not talking to each other, eating some type of vegan meal that you don't want to eat because, honestly, you probably just want a Philly cheesesteak, right? Right. But you won't say nothing to her because, you know, she has alopecia or something. I don't freaking know. But it's just it's ridiculous. That, like, that's what you came with, man? That's what you came with. You need to do better. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. You need to do better. I hope Chris Rock responds because if it was me, if it's too easy. It's just too easy. And I'm sure he will. I haven't heard anybody respond yet. Actually, you know what? He probably won't. No one probably will because they're probably just like, dude, this guy's a joker. This guy's an absolute joker. So, I mean, we're getting close to like RIP status for Will Smith. We're about to just send him to the grave because he's just a walking zombie at this point. Really, really terrible stuff. Really, really terrible stuff by Will Smith. But let's get into the last part. Let's get into the Peacock here and let's get into the last part, part three of the Land of Funk, which is our explorations into the Dayton, Ohio funk scene. We've gone over Zapp and Roger. We've gone over Faizo. We've done what's his name? I'm just totally blanking right now. Who's in part one? Ugh, I can't even remember. But yeah, we've gone over a bunch of people here, and we're gonna go into part three of our in our final part of the Peacock here for the Land of Funk. We're gonna start off with Slave. Slave was a really interesting band. Again, they started in Dayton, Ohio in 1975 with trumpeter Steve Washington. They had a pretty conventional sound, but with a little bit more horns, you know, not as much as the Ohio Players, which was, that was in part one, but they had, you know, trombone, they had like two sacks. They had a pretty, pretty big horn section. Not, like I said, not as comparable to the Ohio Players, but still enough to get that sound across. But the band was originally started by, like I said, Steve Washington on trumpet and the trombonist Floyd Miller. And they both were actually originally from New Jersey, but also, quick side note, they were, Floyd Miller was the very first to, like, pretty much an early adopter, if you will, of the electric trombone. He was, you know, he was super into, he said, I'm not lugging this brass around anymore. So he was into the electric trombone, and that sound actually gave Slave a very distinct funk sound that's kind of separated from the other ones. But the original lineup was Tom Lockett Jr. on sax, Carter Bradley on keyboards, Mark Adams on bass, Mark Hicks on guitar, Danny Webster on guitar and vocals, and then you had Bimmy on sax, and then Tiny on the drums. And their breakout hit in 1977 was Slide, and that was released under Cotillion Records. Cotillion Records had a lot of really cool stuff. They had a lot of really good one-off bands that they just had, like, a really good ear over there. Whoever was in charge, Cotillion was always that record label. When you're playing the wax, when you're pulling it off and getting the next, you look at the label and you're like, oh, Cotillion. Cotillion was always somehow always lurking in the background of the funk scene. But the song Slide really launched them into, like, stardom off the rip in 1977. And it really first marked their run from the 70s to the 80s. So let's play a little Slide here for you.
All right.
Yeah, and you could kind of hear that that electric trombone there in the beginning of that clip. Again, I can only grab like 10 seconds of these songs or we just get hit up, so it sucks. But I tried to grab this clip so you can get the funk part, a little bit of the vocals, but right in the beginning you can hear that weenie weenie, that electronic trombone, which again, like I said, was very distinctive sound for Slave. But their sound evolved, because they had a bit of a rotating door of musicians, but, in 1978, their drummer left, but they, and their singer left, and they brought on Steve Arrington as their new vocalist, along with, Starlina Young. And this is really kind of the Slave that everyone knows and loves now. This, like, when Steve Arrington, he's an absolute genius. When he stepped in and he really brought Slave to the next level. Steve Arrington is still collapsed to this day. He did amazing stuff with Dame Funk. So if you don't know Dame Funk, he's kind of his own lane of, like, neo funk stuff out in California. But yeah, Steve Arrington came in and really, like, changed it up. Again, the keyboardist and Kurt Jones came in, Ray Turner came in, and they replaced a lot of things. But like I said, Arrington eventually did replace Miller and Webster, as the lead vocalist. And then this is when they really, this is when the hits started coming through. They had Just a Touch of Love in 1979. Then they had Watching You in 1980, and then Snapshot in 1981. So just like year after year, hit after hit. And I wanted to play you just a touch of love, and I wanted to play Watch You. So, but let's play a little A Touch of Love for you right now. Yeah, Just a Touch of Love, just a little bit, just a touch of love. Yeah, so that's Just a Touch of Love. And then I also wanted to give you guys a little bit of Watching You, which is probably my favorite song by them, by Slave. So this is Watching You by Slave. Here we go. Ladies go by watching you. That means you just walking down the street flousing. It's a great one. Again, you can hear that electronic trombone, that yeah, it's good stuff. But yeah, so Slave did the thing year after year there. But then again, departures happened, and Steve Arrington actually left the band as well in 1982 after that 3-year run. He went over and did a solo career, Steve Arrington's Aura. There was a band, you know, it's funny because there was a band called Aura that a lot of the group left, and this band, they went to this band Aura, which was they were an all right band, but then Steve Arrington left. And he kind of was like loosely affiliated with them as well. And he also has a solo album called Steve Arrington's Aura. But he started Steve Arrington's Hall of Fame, which was another one of his other things that he did. But even despite all of the lineup changes, Slave continued recording up and all the way through the mid-90s. They did a lot of stuff. You know, they switched record labels like so much. They went from Atlantic Records, the New Plateau, to Ichiban Records. And then they released Unchained at Last in 1985, and then Make Believe in 1987. Again, all just really minor R&B hits on all of that stuff. Nothing really of, you know, note again. And then in 94, they were in Rhino Records, and they released, Rhino Records released Stellar Funk, which was like kind of just highlighting the peak years of when Steve Arrington was in there. Because again, when Steve Arrington left, the Slave wasn't really, you know, they weren't the real band anymore. But the legacy of the band, it still lives on forever. It kind of sucks that a lot of the original founding members all have now since died. You know, you got Mark Adams, Mark Hicks, you know, guitarist Danny Webster. All of those guys were Dayton, Ohio natives. They've all passed away. And then even saxophonist Will Hoyt and Roger Parker and Carter Bradley, they all also passed away as well. So Slave, you know, they remain a cornerstone of the Dayton, Ohio funk legacy scene. And all ton of their stuff, as every single these Land of Funks have all been just remixed and sampled by hip hop artists now. So that's Slave. Check him out if you liked what you hear. The other guy we have here on part three for Land of the Funk is Lakeside, baby. Lakeside. This is one that I'm sure a lot of people know. At least you know their biggest hit. They were from Dayton, Ohio. They had a huge hit in 1980, which I will get into that really kind of is the only thing that everyone really, really pretty much knows now about them. But their roots really trace back to 1969 with guitarist Stephen Shockey. He formed this band called the Young Underground, and then he merged that band with another band called the Nomads. They're both just like local, you know, underground bands. And after they did that, they became the Ohio Lakeside Express in 1971. They had a few lineup changes. Did a brief stint with Eddie Thomas on his Lakeside label, but it didn't really go into thing. But they eventually dropped, you know, the Ohio and the Express, and it just became just Lakeside. But they caught the attention of Dick Griffey, which, and we've spoke about Dick Griffey before here on the Shut the Funk Up podcast, because he's a really prolific guy. He was, if you remember, he was a legendary concert promoter. He used to book, you know, Ike and Tina, James Brown, and Sly, and all of these, you know, up and coming funk bands out west. But then he got into the record business and started Solar Records. And Solar Records has a ton of people, the Whispers, and just like crazy different artists that got signed there. But Dick Griffey, you know, liked what he was hearing from Lakeside, and he began managing them. And he eventually signed them to his Solar Records. And in 1977, Lakeside had released their debut album, and they were really gaining a lot of attraction at this point because they were on Soul Train a ton. Soul Train was just now emerging. It was a big platform for lots of funk and R&B artists. So they appeared on Soul Train. Dick Griffey was heavily involved with Don Cornelius over there at Soul Train. And so that helped out them kind of like breaking into the mainstream media. And they come out with their breakthrough hit, which was It's All the Way Live, which is off their 1970 album Shot of Love. Shot of Love is such a cool album cover too. They Lakeside was really known for their theatrical album covers and even their performances. They always did a really good show. So I do want to play some It's All the Way Live for you right now by Lakeside. I mean, it is All the Way Live. What a freaking, again, God, it sucks. I can only play 10 seconds, but that song absolutely throws down. Lakeside is so freaking good. It's All the Way Live, an absolute funk ballad through and through. Again, 1978, off the album Shot of Love, absolute banger. Solidified them as a major player in the funk scene, especially with bassist Marvin Craig and the drummer Fred Alexander Jr. They were just in their freaking bag. They were in the pocket, as they say, baby, playing in that pocket, staying in that groove. So that really solidified them on the scene, and it really carved out a niche for them in that scene, and as well, people really gravitated towards their musicianship, their performances, and like I said, Soul Train definitely helped with all that. But in 1980, this was the big one, and this is when Fantastic Voyage came out. Everybody knows Fantastic Voyage, hit number one on the charts, stayed there for a real long time, and is still, I mean, to this day, played at bar mitzvahs and weddings and you name any celebration around the world. So we got to do it. We got to play some Fantastic Voyage for you by Lakeside, just because, I mean, the song is too funky. And I got the music video for you, so you can kind of check out them. It's pretty good. So here's a Fantastic Voyage by Lakeside. Yeah, dude, you are the captain. Absolute banger. Everyone knows it. Fantastic Voyage. You know, they do say there's a theory out there take it as you want, that a lot of there, because there's a rap part on there. They were one of the very first like funk groups to like rap. It's in the middle of the song. And there's a, the lead singer does this like little rap instead of singing, the verse. And a lot of people say it's one of the very first times in funk music that, someone was rapping. And that's because, and it kind of checks out too, because, hip hop really started in, you know, the Bronx in, was like 1977, 78. So that kind of checks out. That influence maybe might have rubbed off a little bit on Lakeside and whatnot. So yeah, they say that Lakeside was one of the first funk groups to really start rapping in their songs as well. So we'll credit them as well on that one. But like I said, hit number one on the R&B charts, signature song, everyone knows it, went gold, eventually went platinum. And then, they did a successful cover of the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand. I'm not going to play that song. I don't really like it, but it was, I mean, it's obvious why it was successful. It was a funk cover of a Beatles that were still, you know, fairly relevant at that point. But they continued to release hits, man. They had hits like Raid, Outrageous. But again, as we always talk about with, funk bands on here, popularity started to wane because music started to change. People weren't into it anymore. People were the disco era was hitting, and so they were leaving that behind. But they did have one last major hit called Bullseye in 1987, which it's a little bit of a slow ballad, but I thought, you know, I thought we'd still give it a little bit of a shot here anyway. On the podcast. So I'll play you right now some the 1987, their last major hit by Lakeside called Bullseye. What are the things you do? Never met no. Yeah, not for me, probably not for you, but it was just the moment in time. People were just in their feels or something, you know. People were in their cars driving around town and they were in their feels. So, yep, that's Lakeside for you. A couple other like cool little things about them. One of the later members, Tyrone Griffin, he's actually the father of Ty Dolla $ign, the rapper Ty Dolla $ign. Just a little like fun little nugget for you. Yeah, Lakeside still a very celebrated band in the funk scene. So we give them their props. And, I've done, and before we end this part three of the Land of Funk in Dayton, Ohio, I've done Rod Temperton on here. He was one of the very first Peacocks I ever did. It actually is the one episode that I hate the most because we had super malfunctions with the audio, and I had such an in-depth, because Rod Temperton is the man. He did Michael Jackson stuff. He's a studio, but he started off with Heatwave, basically is what I'm getting at. And Heatwave, they're also from Dayton, Ohio. And I'm not going to do a whole spiel on them because, like I said, I already did Rod Temperton and Heatwave. So if you want to know about Heatwave, you can go back to the Rod Temperton episode. It's a very early on one. I want to say like episode 5 or 6 or something crazy like that. But Heatwave also definitely needs to be recognized as in the Land of Funk because they were integral just as much as all of those other bands. So, yeah, there's your start to finish, man, of the Land of Funk. Hope you guys enjoyed that. It's been a long time coming. I've been wanting to highlight that whole entire funk region for a while. And I think we did an all right job, you know? So big ups to us. Before I get out of here though, I need to do a thing. Man, something happened this weekend. I watched Silver Linings Playbook. Let me just say this. I watched the movie Silver Linings Playbook. It's been out for a long time. It's starring Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence. They're both not young in it, but they're early on in their careers, sort of. And it hit me, man. If you've seen it, then you know what I'm talking about, but I got to find me a Jennifer Lawrence, man. It's about a guy who's went crazy because he walked in on his wife you know, banging another dude, and he's just delusional, thinking he's going to get her back. And Jennifer Lawrence, her husband died, and like they're an unlikely couple, and it's just a battle, but it's a movie of love. And I usually don't even like these type of things. It's not even a rom-com, honestly. It's just love stuff. There's a who's who, and Robert De Niro's in it. There's a ton of really great actors in it. It just got me. And then I was doing, you know, Friday night movie night as I am want to, and then I did a double feature. And then after that, I followed that one up with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey. That one got me too. I mean, that one's about erasing memories of loves, and then her memories get erased, and then they meet each other, but they don't even know. But then, like, in their process of erasing their memories, they're trying to keep their memories. And it was another strain of, I don't know what, maybe I was just needing it, or the universe was trying to tell me something. But man, I miss love. I got to get back in the game, man. It's those two movies kind of hit me, especially that Silver Linings Playbook, man. I almost wanted to watch it again, like, the next day, just so I could, like, feel. Yeah, it was weird. But yeah, if you haven't seen those movies and you really want to, and if you're with your girl, your wife, you know, your fiance, whatever, and you guys never seen it, pop that one on. It's a good movie. Both of them good movies. I recommend Silver Linings if, you know, with the wifey. The other one's a little bit more of a sci-fi thing going on there, because there's memories are being deleted, so you got to really pay attention. The other one's just like a straight up, you know, lovers, trying to figure out life. But yeah, highly recommend that stuff, man. But that's it for this week's episode. Happy Independence Day to everybody out there. We love you. Appreciate all the support. Like and subscribe as always. Check us out over the YouTubes. We always like that. Get those numbers up. We're also on TikTok. You know, if you're on TikTok, come find me. Come check me out. Say what's up. Slide into the DMs. Are they called DMs on TikTok? I don't even know what they're called over there. But yeah, let me know if you guys are liking all the stuff that you're hearing, the new formats, the audio clips. Because like I said, at this point, I'm talking into the void, which is fine. I'm happy to do it. But we'll see you next week.